Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. I grew up on a very busy street in the suburbs. My parents were here somewhere earlier today. Yeah, there's my mom, so she knows this well. Grew up on a very busy street in the suburbs, and those who know the Akron-Cleveland area may be familiar with the road 303. Well, my childhood home was off of 303 as you enter the city of Hudson. About 120 yards from our driveway was a traffic light, which meant when the light turned red during either the morning or evening rush hour, cars were backed up all the way to our house and beyond our house down a hill. And there were only two lanes with a double yellow in the middle and no accessible neighborhood for creative navigation. You are trapped, often waiting a couple light cycles until you could make it through. We might know of a place around town where you don't want to get trapped there. Well, my next door neighbor and best friend's family were having a garage sale, and my friend and I thought we could make some money off of this daily traffic jam. We could sell lemonade and brownies. However, we were mature middle schoolers. Older than those amateur lemonade stands, you know, the ones with the parents sitting by the whole time. We could innovate the lemonade experience, and we knew just how to hook people in. You see, we both just started playing band instruments that year. We thought if we could play our music, customers would line up for our product. I can already tell that some of you know what it's like to endure firsthand someone learning to play a new instrument. But wait till you hear the instruments. I played the trumpet, and my best friend played the oboe. Oboe got more laughs. And so in hindsight, I can imagine now what people must have endured. It's summer. It's hot. You put the windows down for moving air. It's rush hour traffic, and you just want to get home, and the light turns red on 303 just outside Hudson, Ohio. And you are hit with a wall of sound, which can only be described as a raspy elephant and wounded duck playing When the Saints Go Marching In. You may not believe this, but no one stopped in to buy lemonade or brownies. The only thing that made sense as mature middle schoolers was that our music must have been too classy. No one stopped except one. One person, leaving the garage sale, put down her window, and in her outstretched hand was a $20 bill. And the only words that she said was, and I'll never forget this, "Keep it up. Keep it up." And we knew at that moment our music worked. Not till later did I realize I don't think she gave because of the music. So why? Why did she give to us? What caused her to reach into her purse and not pull out a one, a five, or a ten, but a $20 bill? And if she only had the $20, why not just keep it? How easily you could have rationalized not giving $20 to this performance. Why did she give to us extravagantly? Keep it up, were her words. As we read this morning's creation story, we may have the same question. Why does the Creator give so much? What is God's angle here? And what does God expect in return? Like a great artist in front of a blank canvas, God creates this new world out of chaos, mind you. God creates this order and this purpose. The heavens and the earth, light and darkness, and it is good. And so God keeps going. God creates water and sky, and that too is good. And so God continues to add a little bit more to this masterpiece with waters and sky becoming dry, and then there's dry land. And God gives life to plants who will get food from the sun and sustenance from this dry land. Not independent or isolated, but the three are designed to live in community. And the result is fruit. Yes, it is good. God continues to create. The waters are filled with living creatures that need the water and birds of the air that depend upon the sky. Each addition is welcomed into the community of creation. And then God looks at the land and creates wild animals and insects of every kind, who too find themselves interwoven in a network of relationships that support one another. And it is good in God's eyes. Each part of creation is beautifully unique and yet cannot exist without another. In this chapter, God extravagantly and unrestrained gives breath, gives light, gives sustenance, gives life, and gives life in community. The Hebrew word is shalom, our theme for this coming year. Out of chaos, God creates shalom, a peace for the well-being of each thing and what it needs. God steps back from this canvas and admires creation. It is good. I imagine God is like an artist, taking a step back just to admire what has taken place, this life that has the freedom to evolve and grow into its own. God knew that while harmony and peace were in the designs, creation needed ongoing care. God gave life to just one more creature, one made in God's own image, a sign that they were united in a very special way, created to walk with God and be with God. God chooses to share power, or as the text says, to share dominion with humankind. And with God, they have this agency to tend to the air, the water, the land, the birds, the animals, even agency to care for others who are also made in the image of God. However, we know later in Genesis, we know given the state of our world and our community, that often we don't define dominion in this way. Some Christians don't define dominion in this way. Dominion often looks a lot like domination. And it has done a lot of damage. It has created war. It has created unsafe communities for people to be who they are made to be. And when we choose to use what God has given for domination, or believe that we were made in some superior image of God and others were not, we have the ability to undo what God has created and calls good. We have the ability to look upon creation and exploit the air and the water and the land. We have the ability to demean others and as a result, demean the very image of God. However, the good news is God's dominion is not a force of power over, founded on greed or superiority, but the good news is God's dominion, as we see in this chapter, is a force of power found only in living in right relationship, companionship, designed for communal well-being, shalom. I believe that's why God gave us Jesus. Love your neighbor. Heck, love your enemy. Blessed are the peacemakers, the shalom makers, So why does God give extravagantly? Why does God give us Jesus? Why does God give all that we have? So that we may have life. So that others will have life. So that creation can have life. And together we can live in shalom with God. It is Stewardship Sunday. Stewardship is coldly defined as a job of supervising or taking care of something. However, I want to push us beyond what that normally means for us in the church, because we often have a narrow, and I will add a shallow, understanding of what it means to be Christian stewards. Why do we give? Why do we make pledges for this next coming year? And here are some hints. It has nothing to do with paying for the electric bill so that the lights will stay on. It has nothing to do with keeping the building warm in the winter and cool in the summer. As your pastor, it has nothing to do with maintaining a full-time pastor. It has nothing to do with our church, having been in the community since 1816, just continuing for another year. After all, some of you may understand this, those who tend to vegetable gardens. Do you work the land because you love your shovels and your gardening gloves just so much? Teachers, do you teach because you love the office supply aisle in the store? Now, don't get me wrong, you may love your shovel, your tools, you may love the aisle, but you don't do what you do because of the tool, but what those tools let you do. It's not about keeping the lights on. It's about allowing those lights to shine on Explore Me a Story preschool downstairs, learning about why leaves are turning orange in the fall. It's allowing lights to shine upon the music of Fairfield County Strings and Keyboards as youth in our community nurture their passion for music. Not about heating the building, but the warmth that makes it comfortable enough to gather for potlucks in the basement or cozy up during our Christmas Eve service. It's not about your pastor, but it's that you believe in a full-time minister who is on call in case of emergencies, who will show up when you need him, them. You have put faith that they are educated, that they are able to lead you on your spiritual path and journey God has placed you on, and that a full-time minister will be in the community building bridges. It's not about keeping this thing called church going, but it's that when we come together and check in with each other, when we wrestle with despair, when we need just a little bit more hope, when we pull our money and give to 211 or the Lighthouse, when we have people to share it with, that in our belonging, Christ is present, and we experience Christ in our midst. In these days, which are bleak, and I will say chaotic, we tell each other another story of a God that took chaos and made shalom. That even though love itself was nailed to a cross and died, that 3 days later, he rose and lives today. Here we find our way, a center, a belonging the world cannot offer. That's beyond brick and mortar, but a church choosing to walk with God and all the challenges that brings. The woman heard our music, but I don't think that's why she gave us $20. I really don't. I also don't think she gave it without thought or reason. She believed in our potential to use our instruments, our tools to make music and get better, become more faithful to the music. By giving what she had, she believed in us to make beautiful music someday Keep it up. Keep it up. Church, we don't give to maintain the tools, even the budget as is or the building, but we give because of what's possible for God. What's possible for God through us, through what God has blessed us with. And so I invite you to consider what God is calling you to give this coming year, not only money, but your time, your creativity, your passions, your experience. Each are sacred and invaluable tools for creating God's shalom. Give from your imagination of what the world could be and how grace is called to be a part of that vision. And while we are already doing that work, there is more that we could be doing. And so give. And I think when you give, it's our way of saying, keep it up. Amen. Amen.